Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Listen for the word of the Lord as it's recorded in the Psalms, in the letter to the Hebrews, and in the gospel according to Matthew. First, may we pray. Great God, open this word to us that it might find a place in our lives, in our heart, and that we might find a place to serve in your world. Oh God, hear our prayers in the name of your living word, the Christ, by the power of your Spirit. Amen and amen. So from Psalm 22, these are words that Jesus said on the cross. Oh my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. And from Hebrews, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have a high priest who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then from the gospel, they were greatly astounded and said to one another, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at the disciples and said, for mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible.
May I speak
each day.
May I heart thy grace.
This is a true story. It's from Naomi Shihab Nye. You'll find the bibliographic information in your bulletin. We're going to be dancing around that story today. God's not mentioned by name in the story, but God is there. A woman is crumpled on the floor at the Albuquerque airport, comfortless, wailing, wailing, wailing. It appears all is lost. All is lost. Anxiety ripples through the room like electricity, dangerously, as if something might ignite, as if something might explode. Nobody knows what to do, what to say, how to comfort, how to help. Everything seems lost. Everything seems hopelessly, helplessly lost. Listen to that woman weep. Listen to the words of Job.
Today also, my complaint is bitter.
God's hand is heavy despite my groaning.
Groan.
Groan. Groan. Oh, that I knew where I might find God, that I might come even to God's dwelling.
I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Yet if I go forward, God is not there. If I go backward, I cannot see God.
On the left, God hides, and I cannot behold God. I turn to the right, but I cannot see my hidden God. God's hand is heavy despite my groaning.
A voice comes over the airport PA. If anyone in the vicinity of gate A4 understands any Arabic, please come to the gate immediately. Listen to the words of Psalm 22.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning?
Groan, groan,
groan.
Groan.
My God, I cry by day,
and
but you
I cannot
do not
find
answer.
Rest.
Do those words sound familiar to you? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus said those words on the cross.
These are the words faithful people sometimes say when they feel abandoned, alone, bone tired, worn out. This is what we sometimes say when we suffer.
I am a worm. I am not human.
I am scorned by others.
People make fun of me because I can't measure up.
The smug despise me.
I am poured out like water. My bones are all out of joint.
My heart is like wax.
My God, my God,
why hast thou forsaken me?
Disciples have often lifted up words of lament to God. A loved one is sick. A pandemic changes our world. The bills pile up and up. Of course, disciples cry out to God. They get to the end of their rope and they cry out, "My God, my God."
Is anybody headed to gate A4 at the Albuquerque airport? This woman has not stopped crying.
We celebrated the birthday of Chief Joseph this last week. He was the leader of a band of Nez Perce Indians in the Wallowa Valley in northeastern Oregon. When he surrendered to the U.S. Cavalry, he said, and this is part of his transcribed speech, "I am tired of fighting. It is cold and we have no blankets. I want to have time to look for my children and see how many of them I can find. Maybe I shall find them among the dead. Hear me, my chiefs. I am tired. My heart is sick and sad. My God. Here's a story from Mark's gospel. It's filled with lament. Listen for it. A man approaches Jesus.
The man ran up and knelt before Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?"
Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother."
The man said to Jesus, "Teacher, I've kept all these since my youth."
Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me."
When the man heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions.
Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God."
And the disciples were perplexed at these words.
But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God."
They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?"
Look it up. That's Mark 10, 17 to 26.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Did you hear it? The wealthy man is asked to focus his life on Jesus and sell his goods, and he laments because he's very rich. But the disciples lament too. They've heard this word. Do you hear them lamenting? The disciples were amazed. That's what the scripture says, amazed at Jesus' words. And that attention-grabbing verb in the Greek suggests not only amazement, but that they were astounded. They were dumbstruck. "I can't believe what you're saying, Jesus. You demand too much from us, Jesus. You expect too much. We cannot live up to your ideal. We are flabbergasted, Jesus." Do you hear their exasperation?
My God,
are you forsaking me? Is this so-called good news only good for people who are already perfect? Well, Jesus doesn't sugarcoat anything. Being his follower requires us to understand that our whole lives, every aspect of living, is meant to be lived in response to God's love. All that we have already belongs to God. Servants always serve. To be a disciple is to understand that we live, move, and have our being in God. This call to discipleship is an exciting journey, and this calling invites complete and total surrender. Being a Jesus follower isn't just a Sunday gig. We don't follow God's will only some of the time. We don't walk with Jesus only part of the way. But Jesus hears his disciples. He comforts them. Do you hear it? Jesus tells his disciples they cannot be perfect disciples, and they don't have to be perfect disciples. For mortals, it is impossible, Jesus comforts, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. Our lamentation rises the loudest when we forget this. When we forget that God is on our side, the world can break our hearts. When we feel all alone, we feel unable, unreachable, unreached, unlovable, unloved. But we are not alone. God hears
and answers
our prayers. We are not alone. Yes, there is the valley that is low and deep and dark and dangerous, but there is a mountaintop. Jesus reminds his disciples that just as we are called to love the world, they were first loved by God. Jesus reminds his disciples that God blesses, God heals, God encourages, God redeems. When Jesus was on the cross in the pit of the valley of the shadow of death, he cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
But Jesus probably had the rest of Psalm 22 on his mind on that cross. He had good news in mind and comfort and victory. And he drew upon that good word, that enduring hope of his ancestors. Listen.
"You, O God, are holy."
Our ancestors trusted in you. They trusted in you, and you delivered them.
"It was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast."
All of you who revere the Lord, praise God.
All of you who are Jacob's descendants,
honor God.
All of you who are Israel's offspring,
stand in awe of God.
God did not despise or detest the suffering of the one who suffered. God didn't hide his face from me. God listened when I cried out for help.
Jesus and those within earshot of his suffering knew what Psalm 22 affirmed.
When we cry out to God,
when we can't take it anymore,
when we feel beyond hopeless,
God hears us and we are not alone.
There are times when we can't find God. Job sure knew about those times.
But God can always find us.
We are never alone.
We are never beyond God's reach. And God often uses the arms, tears, and comfort of our neighbors to do the reaching. When's the last time God reached out to you through the music of Joe Grant?
Through the prayers of our prayer groups.
Through the visit from the neighbor around the corner.
And what about that woman at the airport? She's coming undone in lamentation and tears and tears and tears at gate A4. At the Albuquerque airport, everything seems lost. The poet Naomi Shihab Nye was there, and Naomi tells this story. These are her words.
Wandering around the Albuquerque airport terminal, after learning my flight had been delayed 4 hours,
you can take your mask.
I heard an announcement. If anyone in the vicinity of gate A4 understands any Arabic, please come to the gate immediately. Well, one pauses these days. Gate A4 was my own gate. I went there. An older woman in full traditional Palestinian embroidered dress, just like my grandma wore, was crumpled to the floor, wailing, "Help!" said the flight attendant. "Talk to her. What is her problem? We told her the flight was going to be late, and she did this." I stooped to put my arm around the woman and spoke haltingly. "Shadawa Shubiduk Habiti Stani Shwe Min Fadlik Shubitsewi." The minute she heard my words, she knew, however poorly used, she stopped crying. She thought the flight had been canceled entirely. She needed to be in El Paso for major medical treatment the next day. I said, "No, we're fine. You'll get there just later. Who's picking you up? Let's call him." So we called her son. I spoke with him in English. I told him I would stay with his mother till we got on the plane and ride next to her. She talked to him. Then we called her other sons just for the fun of it. Then we called my dad, and he and I spoke for a while in Arabic and found out, of course, that they had 10 shared friends. Then I thought, just for the heck of it, why not call some Palestinian poets I know and let them chat with her? This all took 2 hours. She was laughing a lot by then, telling of her life, patting my knee, answering questions. She had pulled a sack of homemade Mamoul cookies, little powdered sugar crumbly mounds stuffed with dates and nuts, from her bag and was offering them to all the women at the gate. To my amazement, not a single woman declined one. It was like a sacrament. The traveler from Argentina, the mom from California, the lovely woman from Laredo, we were all covered with the same powdered sugar and smiling. There was no better cookie. And then the airline broke out free apple juice from these huge coolers, and 2 little girls from our flight ran around serving it, and they were covered with powdered sugar too. And I noticed that my new best friend, by now we were holding hands, had a potted plant poking out of her bag, some medicinal thing with green furry leaves. Such an old country tradition. Always carry a plant. Always stay rooted to somewhere. And I looked around that gate of late and weary ones, and I thought, this is the world I want to live in, the shared world. Not a single person in that gate, once the crying of confusion stopped, seemed apprehensive about any other person. They took the cookies. I wanted to hug all those other women too. This can still happen anywhere.
Not everything is lost. By the grace of God, not everything is lost. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.